Today, we're going to look at James 5, verses 13 through 15. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. Let's read, first of all, verses 13 through 15, and then we want to discuss this passage. In James 5, verse 13, he writes, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Christians find themselves in different situations in life, and we find that we have different moods in life. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're healthy, sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we have it good in life, and sometimes we have bad circumstances. So James talks about these different phases and circumstances in life, and he tells us what to do when we're in them. Now, let's look at the first one. And that first circumstance is affliction, hardship, adversity. He says, "Is any among you afflicted?" Now, the Bible tells us that Christians have trials. Jesus said that this would happen. In John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." John 16, verse 33. The Bible says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. Acts 14, verse 22. And the Bible tells us that if we live a godly life in Christ Jesus, we are bound to suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. So what does James tell us to do when we're suffering hardship? He says, pray. He didn't say to worry about it. That too many times is what we tend to do. He didn't say to complain about it and gripe about it. He didn't say to feel sorry for yourself. And he certainly didn't say to use your pain as an excuse to indulge in sin. James says, are you having a hard time as a Christian? Then what you need to do is pray about that. And praying should come naturally to a Christian in times of trouble. In Hebrews 4, verse 16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And what he says about praying here is even more interesting if we put it together with what he says in the last part of verse 16 in this chapter, because there he says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you're in adversity, he says to pray. And remember that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit also makes intercession for us in Romans 8, verse 26. If you're in affliction then, if you're suffering hardship as a child of God, James says to pray. And that, of course, doesn't mean that praying is all you can do or should do. You can read the Bible because in Romans 15, verse 4, the Bible says that there's comfort in the Scriptures. It talks about the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. But he's especially stressing the fact that you need to pray when you're in affliction. Now, the second circumstance that he looks at is joy. That is, being merry or being happy. He asked the question, is any merry? Now, Christians ought to be merry. Christians should be happy. In Philippians 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice." Peter talks about unspeakable joy in Christians in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. So some days are especially good. Some days we are especially happy. And what does James tell us to do on those really good days? Should we just let go and forget about God and enjoy the pleasures of sin? Obviously not. Well, if we're having one of those good days and we're happy as children of God, should we punish ourselves for being happy, as if Christians have no right to laugh and enjoy life in any way? Obviously not. Joy is natural in the Christian life. In fact, joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, you may say, well, why did he tell these readers earlier in James 4, verse 9, to stop laughing? Because there he said, let your laughter be turned to mourning. Well, that was because they needed to repent. They needed to be sorry for their sins because they were full of pride, they were fighting among each other, and they did not put God first in their life. But here in James chapter 5, verse 13, he's talking about the proper kind of Christian joy. And he tells us at such times to sing psalms. Now, a psalm is a psalm or a song of praise to God. It is a religious song. Now, it may be one of these psalms in the book of Psalms, but it doesn't have to be. It is a song of praise. And this is more of an individual situation here. It's more of a personal matter. It's not in a congregational worship service. This is more of a personal matter. And it can be private, or there may be others present, but it's not as public, it's not as involved as a congregational singing. And this is a time when a Christian in his everyday life is feeling joy, and that joy naturally overflows into singing praises to God. In verse 14, we find the third situation that James describes, and that is sickness. Now, this shows, as he asks here, is any sick among you? That Christians do get sick at times. Even in the days of miracles, you find that people got sick. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Timothy had stomach trouble, and he had frequent sicknesses, 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. Trophimus was left at Miletum sick by Paul himself, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. So this shows that the idea or the doctrine that if Christians have enough faith, they will have health and wealth and never be poor or sick, and that Christians who are sick or poor just don't have enough faith is a false doctrine. Now, getting back to what James says, he asks, is any sick among you? Here's what he says to do. Let him call for the elders of the church. Notice that this person is calling for the elders of the church. The elders are the overseers. They are the bishops or the pastors. They're the ones who lead and watch over the flock. And notice also that he says the elders of the church. Elders are over a congregation. The Bible says that they ordained elders in every church, that is, in every congregation. So elders are over that particular congregation. Elders are not over two or three or more congregations. They oversee that one church or congregation. Now, we might ask here, can a sick person call for a preacher? Can a sick person call for a doctor? Can a sick person call for an ambulance? Well, yes, of course that person can. You see, these directions are not the only ways that God gives us of dealing with these kinds of situations. Now, for instance, when we go back to verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Does that mean that that person can't read his Bible? Does that mean the only thing he can do is pray about his affliction? Well, obviously not. And what about the second question? Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Well, suppose that the person wants to read his Bible. Suppose the person wants to pray to God and thank God for being happy that day. Suppose the person wants to give to other people to help them out. You see, the things that he's talking about here are highlighted. He is stressing praying. He is stressing singing psalms. He's not saying that the only way to deal with affliction is to pray about it. He's not saying that the only thing to do when you're happy is to sing psalms. And so he's not saying that the only thing scripturally that you can do when you're sick is to call for the elders of the church. And we know that because in Matthew 9, verse 12, Jesus said people that are sick need a doctor. And in 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, Paul told Timothy to use a little wine for his stomach's sake and his often infirmities. Paul didn't say to Timothy, now, Timothy, you call for the elders of the church there at Ephesus, and they're going to anoint you with oil. What we find then is that we have to take the whole Bible into account, and that this is not the only passage in the Bible that deals with being sick. This is especially good for these Christians, but it's not the only kind of direction that we find in the Bible. So he says to call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. First of all, they are to pray. They are to pray for the sick. And they are to anoint him with oil, that is olive oil, in the name of the Lord. In the Bible, olive oil was used for wounds. We find that in Luke chapter 10, verse 34, where the Good Samaritan poured in oil and wine into this injured man's wounds. And we also find oil being used as a symbol of miraculous healing. In Mark chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says that Jesus' disciples anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. So this is not the only passage in the Bible in James chapter 5 that talks about anointing with oil and healing the sick. But at the same time, we have to point out that in many other instances of healing in the Bible, oil was not used. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus made clay of his spit, and he anointed the blind man's eyes. The Bible says that he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. But he was not healed until he washed, of course, in the pool of Siloam. Sometimes Jesus just spit. In Mark chapter 7, verse 33, the Bible says that Jesus took a deaf man who had a speech impediment, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue and healed him. And then in Mark chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus spit on the eyes of a blind man and healed him. Now again, there was some kind of symbolism here in the spit, just as there was in the oil. Now let's put all of these verses together with what we're seeing here in James 5, where James talks about anointing a sick person with oil. And what we find is that in the New Testament, James' instructions were not always followed in all cases of healing. Peter and Paul and other apostles did not always do this when they healed people. As a matter of fact, you won't read about the anointing with oil in the book of Acts. And remember that Peter was also an elder. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. And we might also ask this question, and that is, if the oil in this passage is binding on us today, then what about the spit in those other passages where we read about Jesus healing people? Oil evidently here then serves the purpose of some kind of symbolism in regard to this healing. Now, in verse 15, the Bible tells us the results of what this effort will be. He says, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up," that is, raise him up from his sick bed. Prayer is powerful. Again, in verse 16, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And notice, it is the prayer of faith. And he says, that prayer will save the sick. Now, there were gifts of healing in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9 talks about gifts of healing. And some of James' readers may have had spiritual gifts. But all that is said in verse 15 is that prayer delivered this sick person. God does not have to work what the Bible describes as a miracle in order to make a sick person better. There are many illnesses that God can heal through His providence, not in outward displays of His power such as we see in Bible times in what are called miracles, but in hidden ways with His loving hand He blesses people. And notice that He says, if He has committed sins, they shall be forgiven Him. Obviously, because He is sorry for His sins and because He is penitent, because a man will not be forgiven of his sins if he won't repent. And notice, the very next verse says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." So these words of James are not authority for some kind of last rites to be pronounced over a dying man that never repented.